make so a horse race
here in Chicago. I mean, to Cheyenne.
We were all going to Colorado,
but we're going to Cheyenne.
So if the road's open, I'll say ahead.
All right, let's keep us posted. That's good.
Where are you staying?
I think we'll.
Now, I want to see the road reports for our climb in the back seat.
Well, I want to open this meeting or call this meeting back to order.
I can come meet you guys. I've got
where's the gavel?
What I might need is a ride up there.
I didn't bring it today. I know.
You may need to come down to Rural America.
Well, I had mine, but I thought, you know.
Isn't the meeting there?
No, it's a game of fish offs.
Call me tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order. The next item on our agenda is Wendy Bowman, Chairman of the Rural Healthcare District. And Wendy, if you would like to come forward. Yeah, well, let's get what I mean. You don't want the mic? I'm going to give you the mic anyway.
I don't want the mic.
Okay, we have three topics that we want to discuss with you. Well, let's go from where do you want to start? Where would you like to start?
Well, let's just, we can, with Bill's here, let's do the power poll first.
Okay, we have, you guys have received in your packet a letter from Bill Clark. Bill, I don't think we need explanation. I think it's very straightforward. And I think what the request is that we move a light pole on the clinic site, or at least take it down, put it up in the spring, because right now it's somewhat of a safety issue, a factor with helicopters coming in, the approach they could use and landing. Is that correct?
Yes, it has to do with the few complaints that we have from the homeowners to the east.
Yeah.
There, the helicopter comes in right over their house. Their cars are getting peppered by rocks and debris, shingles. I guess I got a report of some shingles that got blown off. So in order to alter that approach of that helicopter coming into that landing pad, I want them to come out of the south, and that would come right over the EMS barn and be able to land on that pad, staying away from them houses right there that are directly east of that helipad.
And in order for the helicopter service to do that, that pole poses a hazard to them.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what the healthcare district is asking is that we move that, take that utility pole down as soon as possible, and then look at putting that pole in another more favorable site in the spring. Is that correct?
Yes, I would request that not a pole be put in. We can monitor, and I do believe I explained it in that letter, is that light was just for to light up that garbage and a hazmat area for the housekeepers at night. So what I would just recommend, all we need to do is just run the wires from that area where the pole is underground to a little hazmat shed, I want to call it, and mount a light on there. I don't want nothing above the ceiling or the roofs of the buildings, if I can possibly have that.
Okay. So I think from our standpoint, what they're asking for is for us to remove that pole with the idea of putting a replacement up sometime in the spring. And I'm not sure that that requires a motion on the part of us, but it certainly requires an agreement for us to do it. I have talked to Billy Pape, and between Billy and Andre, they can take that pole down. Andre can take care of the electrical part of it, and they can take care of the wiring to remove the pole. So I guess what I'm asking the commissioners, are you in agreement with that request and taking down that pole?
Get her done.
Yep.
Okay. So we will direct maintenance and road bridge to work on that and give them that and get it done as expeditiously as they can.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you for your request. Okay.
I think there's an MOU.
Yeah. We have in our packet, the board needs to approve an MOU for the Blue Cross Blue Shield payments with the rural healthcare district. And I would ask Kerry just briefly explain to us why we're going through this. I mean, I know it's required because of changes with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Right. In the rural healthcare board district employees are on our insurance, our Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance. It creates a situation that's better for them and better for us to have more people on the policy. In the past, when we would get the bill for premiums or for claims, we would just send them their portion, and they would return it to Blue Cross Blue Shield, and then we would pay our part. And Blue Cross Blue Shield has gone to a new billing platform, and payment has to be made in one lump sum for both. So what the MOU states, basically, is that they will wire or make a automatic payment to our account the amount that we tell them that they owe, and we provide them with the detail as well, and then we will make the payment after we receive the money. But mainly we wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page, knowing that the county wasn't going to pay the bill ahead of time and then they reimburse it. We have to have the money up front, and this was the best way we could find to come to this agreement.
Okay, thank you. So I've included this in your packet previously for review, and so at this time, I would ask for a motion to approve this MOU between Sublette County Rural Health Care District and the County of Sublette, Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman, with the understanding that Matt is aware of this and approved it, I make a motion to approve the MOU as presented.
Second.
And moved by Commissioner Bowsman, seconded by Commissioner Noble to accept the MOU between Sublette County Rural Health Care District and the County of Sublette. Any discussion or comment? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And Kerry, we have to sign this today. You and I, if you'll put the date on it. And then since Wendy is here, I guess we can present that to her. Yeah, whichever one doesn't work. Okay, so the next item for the Rural Healthcare District is the facility lease extension.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I've been going to the Rural Healthcare Board meetings the last couple times, and there are a lot of new ideas. They're overwhelmed being a new board and all of the things that are going on, and I move that the county commissioners forego their rent for 6 months from February 1st to June 30th to give them an opportunity to have a little extra cash on hand, to give them a little bit of breathing room financially. For things that they're trying to find out before they come up with an idea.
So your motion would be for us to waive the lease payments for the next 6 months?
Next 6 months, yes, sir.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'd second that.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
So the 6 months would be prior to the budget session?
Yes.
And so we're using this, so to speak, as a let's see how you're going to do for the next 6 months before budget. Is that correct?
Well, hopefully that, and I think they believe that in 6 months, they're going to know the direction that they want to go, or they're going to be awful close to figuring this out. Because right now, they're overwhelmed with whether it be billing, whether it be their budget, whether it be this or that. And this will give them a little bit of time to sort those things out. And so I just think that we can partner with them and try to help them out.
Any further discussion?
Not for me.
If not, I'll call the vote on the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 No opposition. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
I think we should be able to give that
so
to you.
Much.
Signed today as well.
Yep.
You know, the term that you used that I really like was partner. And now this board, the Rural Healthcare Board and the Commissioner Board are partnering. You know, we're working together, and I'm very thrilled over that. I try not to show much emotion when I'm ready to blow. But wait till I get in my truck. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You have a good day.
Keep working. Thank you, Wendy.
Good luck, Wendy.
You have that lease, Chairman?
Yeah, just a minute, Wendy. We do.
$122,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 second.
Yeah. Now, if you will hand that to Carrie once she signs it, you can sign it. Then we will have to work on who gets what copy, originals, whatever.
Thank you again, okay. Every one of you.
All right, gentlemen, the next item on our agenda is a contract with Rio Verde for engineering services that we need board approval for. This is a contract that Matt has reviewed. And so I will leave it open for a motion to approve the engineering and surveying services contract between Sutherland County and Rio Verde Engineering.
So moved. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Well, go ahead. There's a motion
made. Motion made by Commissioner Noble to approve. Need a second.
I have some concern first.
Okay. But we have to have a second for discussion.
I'm going to second.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the contract with Rio Verde for engineering surveying services. By Commissioner Noble, and we have a second by Commissioner Rawhauser. So we are now open for discussion. Commissioner Bowser.
Mr. Chairman, question, Matt. It looked like in reading this contract that the prior contract has expired.
Yes, that's
and correct. This is a 3-year renewal?
Correct, as best we could tell. Yes.
Okay, so based on that, what we've done in the past is put out an RFP after 3 years, not that we have to, but it allows that opportunity for somebody to give us a better deal, for example, or look at other options. And I'm a little nervous about just automatically renewing this without, unless there's language in the other one that, in the old contract that says it needs to be renewed automatically unless somebody has a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the performance of Rio Verde, but I think, and we've done this in the past, let's put it out for an RFP, and if we don't get anything else than this, well, then we're good.
So you're not required to go out to RFP, although I certainly understand why the commission would want to do so, but there's no rule or statute that requires you to advertise
understood.
For an RFP. Again, it's completely discretionary on your part, and you could do it. The old contract, since it expired, all the language that was contained in it, it essentially goes away too. So if there was any sort of extension or whatever, once that old contract expired, essentially that language goes away as well.
Well, that's my recommendation, is that we put it out for an RFP first and then make a decision. There's no big hurry, is there? But it has to be done today?
We don't have to execute the contract today, no. I do wonder, I know they have a couple projects though, and so I guess that might be an issue. How do we address those ongoing projects without a written contract?
I guess my thought would be just move forward under the old contract until we get back RFPs and have the opportunity to review them.
Well, I think one of the problems moving forward with the old contract is now, in addition to having an expired contract, we now have
new principals. Yeah, and a new fee schedule, I believe, as well. I can call Rio Verde and discuss it and see how they want to address the current projects and let them, if the commission decides to move forward with an RFP, you certainly are entitled to do so.
Matt, let me ask you this question. You may not be able to answer it because you've only been around, what, 8 or 9 years?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you know in the past when we initiated this contract with Rio Verde, did we put out RFPs then?
It was in 2009, which was a year before I came here, so I couldn't answer that question.
I believe we did, if my memory serves me correctly. But I don't remember how many RFPs we had. Too far back.
Well, I think we're in a situation that, number one, we have an expired contract. Number two, we had the previous contract was with two different principals. And number three, we're currently utilizing engineering services. And the question is, how do we maintain the ability to go forward with paying on something we don't have a contract for?
Do we know how many projects Rio Verde is currently handling?
I do not. Okay. I can find out.
I mean, yeah, that's, if the commission does want to move forward with an RFP, why don't I get with Rio Verde and dial in the pricing for the, and we can sign a contract for those two existing projects that they're handling so that we have something written on a piece of paper, and then move forward with the RFP for a three-year term contract. That's my thinking on how to handle it if the commission does want to move forward with an RFP.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I fully respect Joel's outlook on this, but I think in this situation I'd like to move forward with this three-year contract and then put the RFP out on the following to cover his concerns.
The reason I guess I'm somewhat concerned is the change in the fee schedule, and when you agree to pay more money, higher fees, it probably triggers some criticism if you don't give other people an opportunity to compete.
And I understand your concern,
but it is what it is.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm kind of in Joel's court here, because I looked 65 cents a mile for vehicles, and to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, the IRS has set that at what, 55, 56, something like that?
Was the new rate
58?
I think it may have gone to 58. It was 0.545.
It is 58.
Yeah. There was 54.5, but they did go up.
Well, I guess under this current contract, I think that ought to be with what other parameters of the IRS dictates. And then the other question I'd have had, and I know it's nitpicking, but so if a vehicle leaves Pinedale going to a job, say in Big Piney, are we paying both mileage and an hourly rate from the time they leave to get to the job, or how is it? Explain that one. I guess I need that one explained. To me, if you're driving to the job wouldn't start, or the hourly rate wouldn't start until you actually got there. Or if the hourly rate starts when you leave the office, then the mileage shouldn't be included. For me.
So, Mr. Chairman, as a contractor, I'm a past employer, you've got employees that you've got to pay from the time they show up at 8 in the morning. It may take them 2 hours to do the job, so their hourly rate is engaged at the time they show up. And then the mileage covers the vehicle, and that's just common practice for any contractors to cover your hours and your mileage. They're billed out.
On the same?
Yeah, because your employees are billed out from the second they show up to the job site. You can't expect
Well, no, them. I understand that from the job site. My question was, from the time they leave till they get to the job site,
so
are those 2 hours you're saying are going to be paid by the county prior to them getting there?
Are you thinking that Rio Verde should cover those 2 hours without reimbursement?
Well, what I'm saying is nobody's on the job. Why are we paying for that job that's not being performed?
Well, I think at this point we're getting off track, and I understand your concerns in terms of the fee schedule, and you would like to have opportunity to review that, and what Commissioner Bowsman is saying, that with increased fee schedules, that perhaps we ought to put that out for an RFP. But I have a motion on the table and a second, and if there's not any other discussion with regards to that, I would call for the question.
Could you repeat that motion again?
The motion was to, correct me, Mr. Noble, Commissioner Noble, I think the motion was to approve this 3-year contract with Rio Verde.
If we do not vote on this right now, we could go to Matt and say, can we work on something?
Absolutely. You either deny the motion or withdraw your second, one or the other. If we have a motion and a second and call the question, if the motion doesn't carry, we look at other options.
Or we could have a move to table it till our next meeting.
We would still have to get a decline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could. But moving forward, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my second.
Okay. So I think what we need, Matt, I don't think we need a motion, just give you direction to talk to Rio Verde to see what we can do in the interim basis to cover the existing work that we're obligated, or they're obligated to us and we're obligated to them to pay. And then I think what I'm hearing from the commissioners is we would like you to move forward with putting out an RFP for the engineering services. Commissioner Noble?
I have a concern. Is if we put an RFP out, Rio Verde's schedule and payment thoughts are all public knowledge now. So whoever responds to the RFP can base it solely off of their response to us in this paper.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Rio Verde's pay schedule is already public knowledge, and if we go to an RFP, then anybody that wants to come in already knows what their numbers are. We've put their cards on the table before the RFP's out. I don't think that's fair to them.
Well, I agree with you on that aspect.
I mean, we've put them in a really tough spot now, because so the RFP comes out and they turn in this bid pay schedule and the other responder comes in with 58 cents in travel, so then we're got a lower bid because we put them in that situation.
Mr. Chairman, unless I misunderstand, we're not obligated to take the lowest bid, for instance, are we? Don't we have that option to look at it and say, wow, this guy might be a little higher here and it looks to me like he's by far the superior of the two bids?
Matt, I think by and large we are obligated to take the lowest bid. I think we can give specific consideration if we know contractor A does a more superior job and contractor B has a history that's less than superb, maybe so, but what do you say?
The case law is a little muddled on taking the lowest bid. There's three instances under statute where you absolutely have to award to the lowest bid. Work on the jail, bridges, and to use money from the state-funded highway, when you get money from the state for your highway fund, you have to take the lowest bid in those instances. The other, so it's, you have those three there where you have to. Generally, I think it's wise practice to take the lowest bid, but I do think you can build language into the RFP, into the notification saying we can waive any and all bids, waive any irregularities, and award with the bid in the best interest of Sublette County, and hopefully that gives you some wiggle room, not to say you can't be challenged by an unsuccessful bidder, but I would hope the absence of a statute and that language in those bid documents would give us some sort of insulation against a lawsuit.
Okay. Mr. Bowser.
So, Mr. Chairman, being it appears maybe if we were going to do an RFP, we probably got the cart before the horse by having this public information. So I guess I would recommend we approve the contract for 1 year with the understanding that a year from now we will do an RFP.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because that covers the existing projects. It's a year, so it's, you know, not that long, and then you can go through the RFP process in 2020 and alleviate this concern. I think it's a valid concern by Commissioner Noble that, hey, they've already put their pricing on the table, and competitors can use that to their advantage and to Rio Verde's disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So I think a year contract, it solves all of those problems.
And I think, Commissioner Bowsman, you took the words right out of my mouth, because I was in line with that thinking, because we are in a set of circumstances, not the least of which is we already have their contract and the pricing on that. But we are in a special set of circumstances, too, that we've been, we have a contract that's lapsed, and we also have changes in principle. So I personally would be very much in favor of extending this contract.
That was a motion, Mr. Chairman.
It was?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
A motion and a second.
A little more discussion, please.
Yeah.
Okay, so as that goes forward into the year, then somebody's going to have to make sure that timeline of wherever they're working or whatever they're working on comes to a close when we put more RFPs out there. I mean, if they've got a project, for instance, that starts, go ahead, Tom, you're going
to
answer
just,
that.
Just my thoughts to that is any projects they start in the current year, we would have understanding that they see those projects through, and the RFP would start with new projects at that following time with the new contract or provider from there on out. So there may be a lapse where we have two for some periods until projects are completed.
That's what we've done in the past when we've
changed. That's the only way you can transition through one to the next.
That's exactly how we've done it.
Any more questions? If not, we got a motion by Commissioner Bowsman, a second by Commissioner Noble to extend a 1 year contract to Rio Verde Engineering for engineering and services contract in Sublette County. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes.
One. All right. The vote is four ayes, one opposed by Commissioner Victor. Motion carries.
So I'll get you an amended contract, carries for just a 1 year.
Okay, next on our agenda is Mike Hinn, Soil Conservation Update. Come on up, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Todd, would you like to come up as well?
There's room.
Yeah, why don't you? So, Mr. Chairman, just to bring you up to speed, we opened bids last Tuesday from all the subcontractors to set the guaranteed maximum price under this for this job. And the bids, we were successful in getting several bids from several subs. But taking all the low bids, we ended up with an overall bid price excluding the fire alarm system and the sprinkler system of $340,008. So just to remind, to refresh the commission's memory, back in March at your meeting, based on the engineer's estimate provided by Todd and his group, they said that there, the portion that were, that was bid was, they thought would cost with the fire alarm and sprinkler system, $282,158. And so, with that, me and Dan and Brent McFarland, our architect, went back to the drawing board, made sure that we were very tight on what we, you know, if we needed it, great. If we didn't need it, great. You know, remove it. So with that, we've been working with subcontractor bids, changing up some of the other materials. We were able to save $33,689. We just finished that up this morning. So that brings the total project down to $306,319. The bids we got, and that doesn't include the fire system, and we're still waiting. We've been, Dan's been kicking and calling and trying to get this guy to give us a bid back on the alarm portion of it. We have the sprinkler portion and getting the water into this, in the new main, into the building. That alone is $98,750 without including the alarm system that helps work together with the sprinkler system. Talking to Brent, our architect, this morning, there is a potential, or the code for this building does not require any fire system. You don't even need a smoke detector in it. Now, I will tell you that obviously my board has expressed to me that they're not going to go there for safety concerns, both to the employees and the public, to not have anything. We have looked into putting in a system with just the strobes and the detectors, but we are unable at this point in the game to get a number on that, to put a solid number on that. Last Thursday at our board meeting, my board decided to take $40,000 out of our furnishings budget, because we got to furnish this empty building once it's remodeled with telephones and what have you, and office equipment and so on, of throwing $40,000 towards this. So at this point, even with the $306,000, we can cover, with the money that you guys set aside plus the money my board set aside Thursday, keeping the project moving forward without the fire system. And so I guess my question to you guys is, or request is, obviously the number we started with was lower than we thought it'd be, and that's what was approved upon. So is there a way for us to come with the fire system at some shape or fashion? And I'm sorry, I cannot get the alarm number for you. I just have the sprinkler portion. I'm not going to use it, but our architect said he feels that the $13,000 that we have left over between the $40,000 that my board put together and the $280,000 that you guys did, he feels that'll cover the alarm portion, but I'm not doing that again. I'm not going on a hunch. I'm going on a bid that I can award, and they're stuck to that number. So I'm not going to say that we've got it covered. I do want, for the safety of of our equipment, our employees, and the public, I want a fire system in there of some fashion, but I cannot give you a number on that, unfortunately, at this time. And I don't know, Dan, if you have anything to add that I forgot about from our discussions.
Well, as far as the fire alarm system goes, I feel that we can work it out. I know Mike's not comfortable with it. I feel we can work it out and put it in our budget of $320, okay? And I guess all that Mike is asking for is the money for the fire suppression system itself.
The sprinkler system.
Yes, the sprinkler system. And I'll do whatever it takes to get that within the number that Mike's allotted and you have allotted for this project to include the fire alarm system in there. That's what I'm willing to attest to that we can do that. And another thing is it's really difficult to put a number to a building. I know that when the engineers such as Todd would go into a building, look at an empty building without a set of drawings that's already been done by an architect, and certain products are spec'd out by the engineers, because the architect will hire a mechanical engineer, an electrical engineer, a plumbing engineer, a guy to do all the doors and do all the lights and everything. It's your original estimator goes in there, doesn't know all these factors. So it's a little tough to get it narrowed down exactly without a set of drawings to go off of and go, because it takes me weeks to go through these drawings and to my suppliers and get an actual hard number on it. So I'm saying it's a little tough early on when a building is first purchased or what have you to try to narrow that, to nail that down specifically. That's all I'm saying. And we whittled on this morning as much as we could, I think, and had Brent get with his engineers to make sure we were going in the right direction on a couple of HVAC changes, structural changes that we can make to save a couple bucks here or there. And I think we're going in the right direction without compromising the project.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Grin. It only gets worse. So the $282,000, was that the original?
That was an estimate from a year ago.
And did that include at that time the sprinkler system?
It did. So there was only the sprinkler system come in at $100,000, which I still have a hard time believing. But that was the big difference. Yeah. And I'm not making excuses. I mean, I should have threw $400 a square foot because that's what we're used to paying in Sublette County. But where you had a shell, I didn't think it'd come into that. So that's all I had my numbers to go off of.
So, excuse me. So the sprinkler system folks, where are they from?
They are.
You got two different quotes.
I did.
How much is it just to run the 4-inch, Mike?
So the bid for the 4-inch was done locally, and it's $36,250 to excavate, tap the main, run the pipe, and stub it into the building, and then refill and repair asphalt sidewalk and sprinkler system and sod, you know, basically put it back the way it was. That was $36,250. The actual system itself is $62,500 out of a firm out of Rock Springs, but they have an office in somewhere in Wyoming.
No, they're actually out of Rapid City, South Dakota.
Or what did I say, Rock Springs?
Yeah.
I meant Rapid City, sorry. And they have an office because they are a Wyoming
contractor
by statute. So they have an office in Wyoming somewhere, but their main headquarters is out of Rapid. So they get the Wyoming preference.
So we had a second bid of $69,500 for the fire suppression. I'm just trying to find where that one was out of. But we picked
Cheyenne.
Was it Cheyenne?
Yep. Okay. Rapid fire protection.
Okay, there
but
you go.
But that doesn't include the excavation tying mm-hmm. into the main or anything.
No.
That's correct. That's
so
only.
Are those two things going to be separate entities? I mean, you could go to the local.
Separate subs, yes.
Digging up and then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so the the $60,000 bids, they start their work at the stub inside the building. And then the local would do all of the, get it to the stub in the building.
And some of these things that increase the costs aren't things that you would normally notice. So the size of the attic of this building is substantial, so they are required to fire suppress that as well, which means they have to switch to a dry system because we can't have anything freeze up in the attic because it's not heated. So now we have two separate areas. If that structure was smaller up there, it wouldn't have been required. So I'm sure that probably doubles the cost just of a fire suppression part. And then we have the main, which is not very easy to dig up, and not many people want to do this. I actually had to fight tooth and nail to get the contractor to give me a price for this project, and luckily I've worked with them enough where they would agree to do this work for us. And they got to cross a 24-inch sewer main to get to a 10-inch water main. We have to shut down about 14 different businesses to tap into this line, which they allowed me to, after talking with the town, allowed us to shut it down. At first, they wanted us to do it live. The only one I could find to do it live was out of Montana, and they wouldn't do the excavation work. They would only do the tap. So I ran into several things back and forth there between the town, between the contractors I was trying to get quotes for, and I was able to narrow it down to killing the line, tapping on the 4-inch main, cutting off the 1-inch line that services the property now, repairing the asphalt, repairing the curb and gutter, facade all the way up to the building. So that's a lot of work. It's not something you can just call a regular excavation company to come and do. There's a lot of liability there. And then we have to disinfect the line, flush it, and allow it to come back on to feed the residents of the town. So,
well, I don't know how the rest of these folks feel, but I can tell you a subpar sprinkler system, in my opinion, is not a doable thing. That's how I feel about it. I read these stories, and I'm sure the rest of you do all the time, about different fires sweeping through facilities. They weren't properly, they didn't have proper fire suppression systems, and sometimes the loss of life is catastrophic. It probably wouldn't be here, but still remains. I don't think we should shirk, if you would, an adequate fire suppression system, I'll put it that way. That's my call on that.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I think I've asked Todd this question before, but two different questions. One is, how could we be so far off, and why is it that you can build a building in Saratoga, Wyoming, and you can build the same building in Suffolk County, and it costs half again as much? I don't understand that, but my other more important question is, if in the future we were going to remodel, we Conservation District was going to remodel the upstairs, does having a fire suppression system affect their ability to lease this to the NRCS?
I think that's part of NRCS's requirement, wasn't it, Mike?
It was in there as a preferred. I don't believe it was a requirement, but they preferred a sprinkler system tied to their files and their facility. But that RFP could change. You know, they canceled it twice on us before we moved on without them, so I don't know what the next one would look like, to be honest, Joel. It's whatever the bureaucracy at that level sets.
Can I mention one more thing that also contributed to driving the cost of this up? Was this building wasn't originally designed to have two levels inside it. So the overall height of the ceiling is 16 feet. When we take away a foot for the flooring, we have 7'6" in that building. So the room that's actually in the lab area, which is where the trucks park now, that office room, which the engineers and architects didn't originally catch, was too tall and there's only about 7 foot of headroom up there now. So we actually had to consider ripping off that entire deck, bringing the walls down, removing all the sheetrock, and putting another deck on top. And that also contributed to installing four trusses instead of just four joists, which increased the cost because now we can't run ductwork. We don't have room for ductwork to be underneath a drop ceiling, so to speak. So we have to conceal that in the floor joists. Well, now our floor joists are running the wrong direction to handle the load of the weight of offices upstairs, so that increases the cost. And those things you can't initially see when you walk into a building. And it went as far as us bidding it out before we actually noticed that that room was so much taller than the other side of the building. And we have to completely almost demolish that room to make it right. So those increase things that you just don't normally notice. And I think Todd, in one of his emails to
the district. Mike and I actually discussed the height, but that was something that I'll be honest, I overlooked, like the duct work, that kind of stuff, because we're just going to end up with 7-foot ceilings on that upper deck is what we originally was going to go with. But by the time you start having to fish your duct work in there, supply heat and AC to all these rooms.
And let's add a light fixture to that and our sprinkler head. Okay, and then all of a sudden we're down there. Yeah. And I noticed those things because I'm 6'4", so I stood up there and I was almost touching it, right? So.
Well, we did all this, Mike, originally with consideration for a second floor because NRCS was going to come in and lease that space.
Potentially. We would have to have won the bid.
Yeah, but now we're facing a situation that we didn't win the bid. They're not going to be leasing space.
They withdrew the RFP, and they're going to re-release it at some point with the government being partially shut down and all that stuff. A lot of those leasing people probably are shut down as well. Yeah. You know, at some point, I know my board, once they release it, we're going to look very hard at it because they're a very close partner of ours, and we've been housed together for decades in Sublette County, but I can't give you it's going to be in 30 days or 90 days or a year, but the objective was to do that so that way when and if we have the opportunity to bring that partner over, we would, and then it would also pay for that additional remodel.
But we would be facing some of these issues had we decided not to go with a second floor, is that correct?
I think the cost would probably be less, potentially. The issue you'd run into there is you'd have 16-foot offices or tall, and a lot of, at least now we, with the offices not being built upstairs, we have storage up there because they're load bearing.
So what are we looking at now in terms of the cost overrun without the sprinkler system from the original 280 that we had?
So the cost overruns right now are $27,405.
And that's with a lot of...
That's with your $40,000?
No. That's just, he asked just with the 280.
Right.
So right now we've covered the cost overruns. My board has.
With your $40,000. So the cost overrun to us right now is not anything.
Unless
we do the sprinkler system.
Yes. Sprinkler system. Yep.
Which is a big... Yeah. So that's basically what we're being asked.
Yeah, basically what we need is help with the fire suppression / alarm system. And we still have, you know, basically $13,000 of the district's 40 that we would put towards that fire suppression system. I know that's not much when you're talking.
But you don't have a concrete number for us for what that fire suppression system would
cost. I guess you could take what Dan, if Dan thinks that with that $13,000 that we can cover it based on his electric, you know, being a master electrician. If we can cover the alarm system there, then we are looking at a need of $98,750 as bid by the contractors in the RFP. So I guess to put a number on it, we can today of $98,750.
$100,000.
Yeah. Right.
In easy numbers.
Yes.
And that's before the district put in their 40.
No, that's after.
That's after.
It's after?
Yep.
Yeah.
The only alternative you have is to not do the fire suppression or a lower caliber one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to start work, or can this be tabled till the next meeting so we can think about it, or what's your thoughts?
I think we're ready to start. This isn't going to hold me up for until about a month from now, where this stuff needs to be installed in the attics and the floor joists and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted the commissioners to know that I know we're covered on the fire alarm system because of my time as a master electrician. I don't do fire alarm systems. I always hire them out. It's a separate contractor normally. I can legally do them. I don't practice it because I've got enough things to do. But I'm 100% sure we can fit it in with Mike's 320 budget, the alarm, saying that we're not going to come back to you guys in a month asking for more money for the fire alarm. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. We'll cover it in there, 100%. You can take my word for that. That's not going to happen. Okay? Just so that way you have a hard number in front of you. We'll take the questionable number and put that in our pile of worries.
So I guess the question comes down to us: are we willing to pay for the fire suppression system, or
in the tie-in? Sorry.
Or not have one?
Right. Exactly.
And that itself, I think, is something we can take under advisement, have a discussion on, look through these a little bit further, rather than trying to come to that conclusion right now, because I know I don't know enough to make a decision right now. How do you guys feel?
Well, the big question that we always ask is, if we decided to help them, where do we get the money? And so it gives us a little bit of time for Kerry to dig through the files to find out if there is some, we have some somewhere, and what kind of proposal we can make with them.
And buy enough Rolaids to live with the fact that something we thought was going to cost us $300,000 is going to cost $400,000.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible we could consider a two-step approach, get all the interior fire suppression done out to the wall, and then at some point you guys could complete it with your own budget in a year or possibly later, being that tie-in?
I don't know enough about fire suppression, you know.
No, not you personally, but you cover your own you put out your own.
Correct. I don't know if without the stub, if they, I don't know how that connection.
It'd be 62.5 to get it there.
So, Mr. Chairman, just for my understanding, we thought it was going to come in at 282. Is it true that 340 includes fire suppression, the bid of 340?
No, I don't think so.
That just was with the sprinkler system.
That was what they worked with and cut it back to get it to a more attainable thing. Was there putting in 40,000?
We do all this part.
No, that doesn't include fire suppression.
So what was the total? What was the bid that included fire suppression? What was it?
$98,750.
No,
I think he's asking to add our base bid.
Well,
add
140,000 to 282 would be pretty close.
So it was basically, before we cut anything out, it was $441,000.
Okay, not 340.
No.
Okay.
And we've cut 34,000 out of that, so the new price would be 407.
And that would include the complete fire suppression.
That
would
be the total. So it'd be four. Oh, I'm doing numbers in my head. This always goes south. 306, 406, 360. So the commission would put in 360 and change.
280 to 360 is.
If we had 280 to begin with, and the fire suppression system is going to cost 96 or 98.
Sorry.
Yeah, so we're going to be looking
correct. At. Correct. I didn't carry a
Right.
Sorry. Numbers in my head.
Yeah.
So you're looking for another 100,000.
100,000 bucks.
Yep.
And as far as to get to Commissioner Noble, to your question, I'm sure they could do a two-phased approach. I just don't know. I mean, yeah, you could do one or the other. Well, preferably because of the hard, you do the interior first.
And
right.
You guys, at some point with your own budget, cover the exterior one in a year.
It would take up a lot more. It wouldn't cost 36 because you'd have to re-tear your floor up in the building. To run your stub up,
right?
You'd have to excavate in your building and come in, so it wouldn't be a one for one, I guess.
Would you?
Right. But yes, it is possible.
Sure. It's also hard to turn around and get that your fire suppression company back in to do the testing when you tie in,
right?
Because there's a series of testing that they have to do.
So you want to take this under advisement and then address it with more formal?
If we took under advisement that part of it, that does not preclude you from getting started, does it?
No.
Okay, so between now and the next meeting, Carrie can see what reserve fund this would come out of and have that information for us if we're inclined to.
Right.
Put in another 100,000.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, is there any information I can get to you guys as a commission between now and then? I'd be more than willing to dig up whatever, you know, going to Commissioner Vickery's question about, you know, fire rates or whatever, or any of that. I can work with Chief Cooper or the company or whatever to get any kind of information to you need.
Well, I think it would be imperative for Chief Cooper to have this run by him and see what he says in terms of which system we choose. And I think we already know his opinion on having to have a fire suppression system in that building. But I think we can have some conversations with him. I don't know if you guys need any other information. I think what we're looking at is how are we going to come up with the money? Where is it going to come from? And, you know, what our options are there for moving forward with that. And those options may include you and your board as well. So I think we have enough for now. We'll take it under advisement and readdress it in 2 weeks.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So, moving on along. I have passed this around. We still have to approve. We have to approve this grant agreement between Homeland Security and Sutherland County. And this is something that Matt has reviewed. This is the formal agreement between us and Homeland Security and how we set up, procure, and deal with the funds on a $20,000 grant letter.
Mr. Chairman, Matt's approved that. I move we approve it.
Second.
Moved and second that we approve the grant agreement. Any further discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, motion carries. I think on this, Carrie, this may be a copy, but they've got Andy's name on this. We'll have to
use that. That's how it came
from the state.
Yeah. But anyway, we've approved it. We just need to prompt everyone.
Who made the motion? I'm sorry.
Commissioner Bowsman did. Mr. Rawhouse. No, Commissioner Noble seconded. Commissioner Rawhouse did vote, though.
I did. It's just late.
I know. Saying. So I guess we need to pay vouchers and check the road report.
Yeah. Let me go get stamps.
Do I get a stamp?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, I saw the Lockwoods here. I don't know if they had any comment or not.
Well, I think he's on that board.
Oh, the
I think
conservation.
That's the conservation exactly. Board. Yeah. I wondered why they were here.
And I thought we didn't have to stamp on them anymore.
After this time.
After this time. After this time.
After this
possibly
time.
One more.
Did you not get any bids on the firehouse?
Those bids, actually, there was I want to say a misprint communication as to when those bids would be open, and I think it was, was advertised February 24th, not February 22nd. So the bids won't be open until then.
So we're not doing that today.
We're not doing that today.
No. February, okay.
January. I'm sorry, January. And if we're in Cheyenne, I guess Todd will open them, and we'll have to consider them at the next meeting.
They'll just have to wait till our next meeting.
Safe travels this
afternoon. Hey, you bet. Yeah. See ya. Yep.
He can't hear you, Kenny.
Oh, really? It's closed?
Between Warm Center and Crescent.
Oh.
This is showing it's open.
What?
This is showing it's open. Warm Center alert
Thank
just
you.
Told me it closed again. Let's see if that's for an accident.
Okay.
So, basically, Holly, the communication from Todd was that the newspaper called for them to be submitted on the 22nd, but the invitation called for them to be on the 24th. And the contractors agreed that the 24th was the confirmed date.
Well, not really.
So
you just have to do what you think's right.
Yes, Todd will be looking for
those. I think real worried.
And I don't think we'll be considering until.
Why weren't they here?
Why aren't they here?
Good question.
Oh, really?
Because I know why.
Do I turn this off? Do I have a contract?
I don't
do I turn this off?
Yeah.